The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Meyer.
Happy Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Looking forward to talking with you off and on about the things that are going on in your world today, things that you find important. This is the Bill Meyer Show, Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Of course, I'm usually pretty broad anyway at what I'll allow because we're small town radio. You know, we're small town, but we have a lot of good people, though, that check in. And Conspiracy Theory Thursday is a day in which we'll even broaden it a little bit more. I don't know if I want to go down the QAnon rabbit trail. You know, truth be told, I've kind of given up on that kind of stuff going on. But just about everything else, you know, I'm even going to allow... Here it is. I sound like I'm, like, you know, deigning to allow someone. But Brother Lou is going to join me after 8:30 or so this morning. And there is an event on geoengineering, which is going to be happening Saturday at the Bellevue Grange in Southern Oregon. And we're going to talk about, you know, what this is all about. They're hoping to get people interested in it. And, you know, as you well know, geoengineering is probably more commonly known as chemtrails, and my eyes glaze over every time things like that get mentioned because my opinion on things like this is that big claims require big evidence, and it's not, and evidence is not what someone puts in a book. Evidence is not what, hey, I saw lines in the sky, and then I saw lines in the sky, and then it rained. I've been seeing stuff like that since I was a kid. And I now see, I'm more of a simple man. I tend to look at weather. Oh, okay. So a weather front came in from out in the Pacific and it brought us rain, which I'm actually quite happy about. I'm glad they did. But there are a lot of people that really tend to just think that every storm that we have, everything that happens, the good weather, the bad weather, is all preordained and or ordered. And hey, if you're going there, God bless you. It just needs some big evidence, and I would highly suggest you take it to authorities that might either be behind it or can do something about it. But we'll talk with Louis about this a little bit later on in the program, all right? See, it's perfect. And I like, and I respect Brother Louis, too. We call him Brother Louis. I forget Louis's last name. I have it somewhere, but I just, hey, Brother Louis, how you doing? Well, you know, it's great to have you on, okay? All right. So we'll have that conversation. Tom Fitton's going to join me here in about 15, 16 minutes or so from Judicial Watch. He's the founder of Judicial Watch. Best biceps on television. Boy, he wears those tight shirts. But actually, though, he's been doing a lot of good work trying to get some semblance of a rule of law and order being restored here to the United States. Been bringing up a lot of corruption. He's written a book about that. We'll talk a bit about that. And actually, a lot of legal conversation going on this morning, and I think it's very important. And I talked with Johan Pietila, who is one of the candidates for position 11 in the circuit court race. And both Johan Pietila and the incumbent, Judge Matthew Roan, they did apply to be chosen by Governor Kotek, appointed in August. I have no idea why Governor Kotek just didn't let this judicial race run open. There is no reason to appoint someone in August, but she did. They both applied for it, and Judge Matthew Roan ended up getting the nod. And so I thought it was important to have both judicial candidates on. I consider judicial candidates, most people think of them as an afterthought. They don't really think much about them, but I think they're very important. I think that it's also a way that governors have great influence in our judicial process. I'm not always happy about it. I've been made no bones about that. So we'll talk with the incumbent of 2 months, Judge Roan, at 7:10. And Johan Pietila will be here at 8:10 to have conversations about this. And they're hard. You know, there's only so deep you can go on the judicial side of things. You know, there's judicial ethics rules. You just can't ask how someone would rule on something. All you can do is try to get the general tone and legal background of a candidate. And we'll let them have their say, both of them, okay? Both of the candidates here. State Senator Dennis Linthicum, another bite of the apple here as we get ready. Voting ballots have dropped and the voting has begun. Secretary of State, it's a big deal. It's going to be a high bar. It'll be a tough one. I know they're trying to paint Tobias Reed, who is his opponent, his Democratic Shill opponent, as the, he's just a regular guy, just a good guy, practically, put him in a fishing hat and, I guess they have to try to find some way to make him less slick. Tobias Reed. Less Democrat slick, I guess. But anyway, we'll talk with Dennis about this and the continuing fight for election integrity and some semblance of sanity in our election process. I mean, when it comes right down to it, Oregon is wide open. We pretty much know about that. You are never required to prove that you are a citizen to vote in Oregon elections. And we're just supposed to think, nothing to see here, move along, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Speaking of citizens, non-citizens, and all the rest of it, interesting conversations yesterday on Fox News with Brett Baer, special report with Brett Baer, Kamala Harris, and we have President Trump, who was doing a town hall for Univision yesterday. And it was contentious. It was contentious. And I have to tell you, I don't know Brett Baer's politics. I've never been able to figure that out. That's a good thing as far as I'm concerned. Damn good reporter, damn good anchor over at Fox 2. One of their best, in my opinion. And he did a good job of trying to nail down Marxist jello to the wall. It's just, how do you nail down Marxist blobby jello to the wall? Well, here's how it went, and they got right into it when it comes to the immigration issue.
How many illegal immigrants would you estimate your administration has released into the country over the last 3.5 years?
Well, I'm glad you raised the issue of immigration, because I agree with you. It is a topic of discussion that people want to rightly have. And you know what I'm going to talk about.
Yeah, but right, do you, now, just a number. Is, do you but, think it's but, 1 million, 3 million?
Brett, let's just get to the point. Okay, the point is that we have a broken immigration system that needs to be repaired.
So your Homeland Security Secretary said that 85% of apprehensions.
I'm not finished. We have
it's a rough estimate of 6 million people have been released into the country. And let me just finish. I'll get to the question, I promise you.
I was beginning to answer.
And when you came into office, your administration immediately reversed a number of Trump border policies. Most significantly, the policy that required illegal immigrants to be detained through deportation, either in the U.S. or in Mexico. And you switched that policy. They were released from custody awaiting trial. So instead, included in those were a large number of single men, adult men, who went on to commit heinous crimes. So looking back, do you regret the decision to terminate Remain in Mexico at the beginning of your administration?
At the beginning of our administration, within practically hours of taking the oath, the first bill that we offered Congress, before we worked on infrastructure, before the Inflation Reduction Act, before the CHIPS and Science Act, before the bipartisan Safer Communities Act, the first bill, practically within hours of taking the oath, was a bill to fix our immigration system.
Yes, ma'am. It was called the U.S. Citizenship Act of 2021.
Exactly.
It was essentially a pathway to citizenship for the...
May I finish responding, please?
But
you have to let me finish,
you
please.
Had the White House and the House and the Senate,
I'm
and they
the
didn't bring up that bill.
I'm in the middle of responding to the point you're raising.
Okay.
And I'd like to finish.
Yes, ma'am.
We recognized from day one that, to the point of this being your first question, it is a priority for us as a nation and for the American people. And our focus has been on fixing a problem. And from day one, then, we have done a number of things.
Okay. So, as you well know, as you probably figured out, though, that she was doing everything possible not to really answer the question. Going back to this canard about the... we had a bill ready. The bill was designed to fail. It was an amnesty bill. Everybody knew that was what was going on. That's why even Donald Trump weighed in on it. This was a deal. And Brett was trying to get her to talk about, listen, you had like all of these executive orders. All these executive orders were repealed. And they continued on that immigration take here for quite a bit. And also talking about some of the people who had testified before Congress about their relatives who had died at the hands of illegals.
And I will let one of the mothers talk about it. Take a listen.
Because of the Biden-Harris administration open border policies catch and release, they were enrolled in the Alternatives to Detention program. This meant that they were released into the United States. It was not even a full 3 weeks later that they would take my daughter, Jocelyn Nangare's life. I believe the Biden-Harris administration open border policies are responsible for the death of my daughter.
That's the early days. So do you owe them an apology is what I'm saying.
I will tell you that I am so sorry for her loss. I'm so sorry for her loss.
And that was about it. I'm so sorry for your loss. That's very, very nice. Okay. What about the direction of the country? They talked about that, too, near the end.
Frankly, exhausted of Brett.
More than 70% of people tell the country is on the wrong track. They say the country is on the wrong track. If it's on the wrong track, that track follows 3.5 years of you being vice president and President Biden being president. That is what they're saying, 79% of them. Why are they saying that? If you're turning the page, you've been in office for 3.5 years.
And Donald Trump has been running for office.
But you've been the person holding the office.
Come on. Wow. You and I both know what I'm talking about.
I actually don't. What are you talking about?
What I'm talking about is that over the last decade, people have become.
But you're the lever
of power. But listen, over the last decade, it is clear to me, and certainly the Republicans who are on stage with me.
Okay, so apparently, Dark MAGA. Dark MAGA ended up being the that was really the power behind the country was Dark MAGA, even though she was in the office. It's fascinating. Like I said, not surprised. I don't think it was Kamala's. She didn't have one of those nights in which like Tim Walz saying, you know, I'm friends with school shooters kind of moment. But needless to say, she did not really answer questions. She did not give really Brett Baer a lot to work with. But, you know, a non-answer is an answer, I suppose, all right? Meanwhile, President Trump was over on Univision last night because there's a big battle for the Latino vote, Hispanic vote, and I'll play a couple of bites from that. The only thing that I have changed on this or edited on the clip, just so you know, is that I cut out the Spanish of the announcers and just used the English translators for the posing of the question.
Good evening, Mr. President. Thank you for being here tonight with us, and thank you for answering my questions. Besides being a data analyst, I am a pastor for the youth in my local church. So I believe in the power of growth through reflection and learning. We can always have triumphs, but we can always also have mistakes. And my question to you is, out of the 4 years you were in the White House, can you name one error or something you learned?
De esos 4 años, para que nosotros podamos aprender de usted y darle nuestro voto otra vez.
During those 4 years, so we may learn from you and once more give you our vote.
Thank you very much. We had a very successful administration. Everybody acknowledges it because we had the great economy, which is so important. We didn't have inflation. We won the war. We rebuilt the military. We won the ISIS. And we didn't. The nice part is we didn't get into any wars. As a pastor, as somebody of faith, you have to like that. Hasn't happened in 82 years that happened with a president. I didn't get into war. We had great trade policies. We changed some of the horrible policies. We did a lot of good things. So when you say about something I regretted, the thing I would say that's most important, and it's going to be most important for coming up, is people. It's all about the people. Where I had great people, things happened good. Where I had people that I didn't like as much, it doesn't work out as well. And I, you know, unlike Biden or Harris, I get rid of them. I get new people in because I'm working for you. I want to make sure the country is running well. And if somebody's not doing their job, I make changes. So I would say this. The mistakes I made weren't big policy. We had the strong border. We had the great economy. We had all these things. But I put some people in that I wouldn't have used again. Now, when I went to Washington, as you know, I was only there 17 times in my entire life, 17 times. I never stayed over. The press informed me of that, so I don't know if it's true, but it sounds like it might be right. Very little. I wasn't in Washington. So I didn't know the people very well, and I relied on other people to give me. And generally speaking, I got it right. Bob Lighthizer and trade, we had great trade people. We had a lot of great people. But I had some people that I would not have used again. Now I have tremendous experience. I think I have more experience than anybody in history in terms of the people, in terms of that kind of experience, the experience you need. And I know all of the people. I know the players. I know the good ones, the bad ones, the smart ones, the dumb ones, the ones that don't have courage. You think you never really know about courage until you're tested. But I know the people very well. I know who I want, who I don't want. So I would say that in terms of knowledge and learning, it was people. If you have a good group of people or a great, like, secretary, somebody in charge of a big agency, it's all about the people. So I would say that would be the biggest mistake. Mostly good, but some bad.
People are policy. Interesting to hear him admit this because, you know, that's it's hard. He didn't dodge the question, though. He attacked that straight on. And, yeah, I think we would agree that there were some great picks and then some not great picks. And hopefully, well, he's even said that he knows a bit better. You know the swamp a little bit better now. I thought that was pretty interesting. And Univision continued this time on about a question about Kamala. Kamala, rather. This cracked me up.
Good evening, Mr. President. I only think it's fair to ask the same question I posed the Democrat candidate. What are the three virtues that you see in Vice President Kamala Harris?
That's a very hard question. That's the toughest question. The other ones are easy. Look, I'm not a fan. I think she's harmed our country horribly, horribly. At the border, with inflation, with so many other things. But she seems to have an ability to survive. She seemed, because, you know, she was out of the race and all of a sudden she's running for president. That's a great ability that some people have and some people don't have. She seems to have some pretty long-time friendships.
I thought that was great. Even as he answered that, hey, she has an amazing ability to survive. In other words, didn't get any votes, but here she is. That was kind of a backhanded way of putting it. Donald Trump did a great job on those two answers, I thought. He didn't dodge the bid. And, of course, they're laughing. They're laughing along with him. Well, that's a really hard question, huh? 28 after 6. Hope you're doing well this morning, and we'll continue. Judicial Watch's Tom Fenton will be joining me here in the next few minutes. We'll have a little conversation about what's going on over at Judicial Watch. We'll also be talking with a couple of judicial candidates this morning, 7:10 and 8:10 today on KMED and 99.3 KBXG and the Bill Maher Show.
The People's Commissioner. Hi, this is Ron Smith. Paid for by friends of Ron Smith, 22604.
Hi, I'm Matt Stone with Stone Heating and Air, and I'm on KMED.
6:29. Hey, Tom, you wanted to comment on the Trump fight. Yeah, liked hearing that, huh?
Oh, yeah. You know, that's been one of my biggest concerns about Trump is that when he was elected president, that he hired the swamp. He said he went there to drain the swamp, yet he hired the swamp. And so I'm glad to see that he admitted it. I knew when he was elected in 2016 that he would make mistakes because he's an outsider. He didn't really have as deep an understanding of the swamp as he thought he did. And so it was obviously he hired the swamp, and the swamp did amend in 2020. If he'd had better people in there, a real justice system, FBI heads, et cetera, I don't think he would have lost in 2020. But he deeply miscalculated the strength, size, the depth of the deep swamp. But I think it sounds like he's up to speed now. So that was really refreshing to hear that he could admit that.
Yeah, agreed. I appreciate that, too. I think that that bodes well. It really does, at realizing that he has to, well, he knows better now on who to hire. And more importantly, I think, Tom, who not to hire. I really appreciate your call, okay? All right, thanks so much. It is 6:30 at KMED 99.3 KBXG. I think we may have Tom Fenton from Judicial Watch on here right now. Oh, is this Tom?
Yeah, how are you, Bill?
Tom, it is a pleasure having you on. I'm sorry I didn't have a chance. I was in conversation when you called up here, but I just heard. Yeah.
And I agree with the 3 seconds I heard.
Yeah. Tom Fenton, by the way, serves as president of Judicial Watch, brings 30 years' experience in conservative public policy. And my gosh, you've written 3 books. What's the name of your new book here, Tom? Good morning.
Yeah, the fourth one is rights and freedoms in peril. And I can tell you that that's the problem. And folks need to read the book, not just generally, but before the election, because we expose with receipts what went on, what might go on, and the kind of the threats to our freedom from the radical left.
You know, Tom, no doubt you probably ended up watching the Kamala Harris interview on Fox yesterday with Bret Baier. Did you watch that?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
What was your overall impression of that? It was kind of like trying to, from my point of view, like trying to nail Marxist jello to the wall. It was tough, you know?
Yeah, you know, and I'm trying to be neutral. I don't want to tell anyone who to vote for or against her. But, you know, it sounded to me like she was a loser candidate, right? And she was acting as if she was losing. And that's the problem. You kind of get out of control when you're losing, and you get a little bit more hyperbolic than you otherwise would be if things were going the way you wanted them to go. And I saw a lot of that reaction in that interview. And the big failure was, and I, you know, people say, well, she should, what can she say about immigration?
Mm-hmm.
I embraced the invasion. I knew what we were doing. I knew it was a catastrophe. We bear responsibility for all the problems associated with it. So, you know, Joe Biden may be hoping, you know, he's probably angry, but he may be thinking, boy, I'm glad I don't have to answer that question, too.
I imagine so. Now, you actually put quite a bit of this in Rights and Freedom in Peril, your brand new book, your third book out there, including in fact, you really say that what's been happening at the border has been a planned chaos to what end, though? Maybe you could expound on that.
Well, you know, my general concern is that we've had this metastasis, right, of the left really taking over our government and engaging in sort of kind of proto-revolutionary behavior. And if you hate America, what would you do to it? If you want to undo and, like, engage in a statist revolution, a communist or whatever type of revolution, what would you do? You'd open the borders. You'd create chaos. So this chaos to me is a feature. It's not a bug of an open border. And they know exactly what's happening. And of course, you know, once all these aliens are here, unless they're deported by 2030, they're going to be counted in the census. And what does that mean? It means that states where there are lots of aliens residing get more representation in Congress, more electoral college votes. You have, for instance, some jurisdictions, some congressmen, they represent less citizens than other congressmen. They represent more residents because they have non-voting aliens there,
mm-hmm.
but fewer citizens. So you're going to have increasingly Congress effectively answering to people who represent fewer Americans and who report to, in essence, non-citizens. It's a crisis.
In the state of Oregon, you're not really
all the other issues.
Yeah, along with many of them. How long do you, before you think that what we consider illegal aliens today, Tom, will actually just have the full blown franchise, the right to vote? Because in the state of Oregon right now, I know that they made a big deal. Oh, we found problems. Non-citizens were on the voter's roll and they fall on their sword. But the fact of the matter is, no one's ever required to prove their citizenship in order to have the franchise. And I don't think we're all that different from any other states.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a numbers game, right? You've got tens of millions of non-citizens. A certain number are going to register to vote mm-hmm. illegally, either accidentally or on purpose, and then some of them are going to vote. I mean, that's the reality of it. And the left wants them to be able to vote. They've been pushing it at the local level here in D.C. They allow the vote for D.C. mayor. The Russian ambassador, practically speaking, can vote for the mayor of our nation's capital.
Wow.
and the rolls are a mess. So we don't even know where people are, even if they're citizens, and why they're still on the rolls. In Oregon, we may end up suing Oregon. It looks like we will, Mike.
Really?
Because voting rolls are such a mess out there. I mean, you've got the statewide, you've got a lot more people on the rolls who are living there and eligible to vote. That's a pretty good indication the state isn't taking the steps necessary to clean up the rolls as the law requires.
You know, Tom, about a year or two ago, we had some people bring in ballots that had been sent to motels, local motels, because they had a community college where a lot of foreign nationals came up here to learn how to drive truck. Well, they ended up getting driver's licenses, and because they had driver's licenses, the Secretary of State in Oregon sent them ballots at the motels. Now, they were gone, you know, at that point. And something tells me that's nothing unusual. Do you agree on that?
Yeah, I mean, that's a foreseeable consequence of giving driver's licenses to non-citizens, right? Mm-hmm. Especially illegal aliens. I mean, it's one thing to have a permanent resident have access to a driver's license, right? They've got their green card. They're going to be here. Essentially, that's a path to citizenship under law. But to be giving ID cards, government ID cards of any sort to non-citizens, that invites them to engage in additional illegal behavior, such as registering the vote and voting.
Mm-hmm. Tom, how do you see this playing out over time? In Rights and Freedom in Peril, by the way, is the name of the book from Tom Fenton of Judicial Watch. Tom, you know, I think when you were talking about a revolutionary take, which is really we've been living under a revolution, and I think people make the mistake of thinking of revolutions with, you know, troops goose-stepping in the streets, you know, that sort of thing. Have we continued to almost have a revolution within the form, like Garrett had talked about a number of years back in the 1930s and 1940s, and another revolution in which everything looks the same, but it's not really?
Yeah, and I don't want to overstate it in the sense that they're winning, right? Or they're on the verge of mm-hmm. winning. I think they've made substantial inroads, and I would say the radical left. You can see this with the transgender extremism. You can see this with the attacks on the First Amendment. I mean, that's real dangerous stuff. I mean, that could be the end of America if we lose the First Amendment. Are they going to be successful in their attacks on the Supreme Court and packing the Supreme Court? Maybe not in the short run, but maybe in the long run. And you were asking about non-citizens voting. These are agenda items they don't give up on. And what's important about this book is that it's important whether or not Trump wins or Kamala Harris wins, because the issues are still going to be there. Are they going to give up on lawfare? Are they going to give up on, you know, allowing the borders to be open, promoting this race-based animosity within America through blatant discrimination, through CRT, DEI, wokeism, however you want to call it? Now, the left is never going to give up. We need to understand what their goals are and confront them directly. And that's what this book does. And it's not just me giving opinions. It goes through, because Judicial Watch is document heavy in our work.
Yeah, you have the receipts on it.
Talk about is based on government documents.
You have the receipts for it. That is for sure. Rights and Freedoms in Peril. By the way, I hope you do sue the state of Oregon about the voting issue too. Tom Fenton, president of Judicial Watch, judicialwatch.org. Thanks for taking a few minutes with us this morning, Tom.
Hey, you're welcome, Mike. Thank
right.
you.
Be well. It is 6:39 at KMED, 99.3 KBXG.
The new Jackson County
KMED.
770-5633. Some open phone time if you wish on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. So as weird as the calls can normally get, they could get even weirder now for a few more minutes. 770-5633. By the way, if you just join me, some of the people we have coming up today, we're going to talk with Judge Matthew Rowan over at Position 11, Circuit Court. That was a newly created position, and he was appointed by Governor Kotick. But, of course, both he and Johan Pietila applied to be picked. I wish that the governor had just kept her nose out of our judicial picks and just let the people choose. But needless to say, one ended up winning back in August. So in other words, yeah, Judge Matthew Rowan is an incumbent, but he's an incumbent of like, you know, 2 months. So it's like you've had 2 months in the gig, so to speak. And I will do my best just to, you know, ask what questions you can of a judicial candidate, you know, your experience, you know, what makes you different from your opponent, and what about the backlog in the courts? How do you think, you know, Measure 110 will be playing out, you know, the fix to Measure 110, and any various thoughts about that? We'll kind of go there. But we have that. We also have State Senator Dennis Linthicum looking for your vote for Secretary of State. So we're going to be talking about the law and the election law and the candidates. We get our chance right now. And I know that a lot of people tend to ignore these judicial picks. They're very important. And a lot of times they get passes because of being appointed by the governor. Now, I'm not saying that about Rowan. I'm just saying, you know, hey, he got picked. They both applied. They got picked. And so, and people just don't know. They don't know what's going on with these people. And maybe everything's okay. All right. But I've not liked the way that Oregon judges have been picked for a long, 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 long time. All right. And so we'll be discussing that with both candidates. Okay. Now then, 770-5633, open phones. Hi, Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Good morning. Who's this?
Don in Gold Hill.
Don in Gold Hill. Welcome back. How are you today?
Thanks. I'm well. I don't want to talk about the Baird-Harris interview where I can imagine 4 years of someone whining into a microphone. Can't do that.
Okay.
I don't want to hear the news of a little microcosm of culture. A man on an e-bike is killed by a migrant in a van who leaves a roadway, kills the man. You heard the news. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't figure out, he's huffing dust up. Incidentally,
Cassie Jane Cavagnaro, a 36-year-old. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of felonies in the past there. Yeah.
And I remain... Stay in Gold Hill. We eliminated the beast. Crime went way down. So take that as a pattern. So if I wanted to talk about conspiracy, DEI.
Okay.
Because, and this is conspiratorial. I know we watch these commercials on TV, and a major monolithic drug company, name you'd recognize, has a new prostate cancer drug, name you have never heard. They hire people to make up these names. You're aware of that. So now that they're treating prostate cancer, but you must, a commercial never is mentioned the name, the word male is him, he. And by the way.
Hold on. Your phone's cutting in and out a little bit here. So on the prostate cancer drug, what are they doing with this now about male, him, he?
No, it's never touched on in this ad, this new commercial.
Oh, because females can have prostate glands too, right?
Because you must remember, if pregnant, radiation may adversely affect a fetus.
Yes.
Harmful to fetus, no radiation. So
yeah, harmful to to fetuses in men who are pregnant, right?
Yeah, I just wanted to touch. Do not invest in this company, and you need to be screaming the whole time. This is the face of corruption and darkness.
You know something, Don? I've received many emails from various people, government agencies, government people, private sector, PR representatives. Happens all the time. The moment I see pronouns on the email signature, my eyes glaze. And I automatically deduct about 15 to 20 IQ points. I can't help myself.
Yeah, you clearly have a problem. You need to be reeducated.
Well, I imagine you and I will be sharing bunks in the future FEMA camp if you're going that way. Okay.
Okay. Anyway, thank you for the show. Now,
by the way, do you cook really well? Because I'm not a great cooker. I'm not a great chef.
I have secrets I want to share with you. And some southern dishes involving very simply poached eggs and grits.
Okay? All right. And something besides mud cookies, all right? Let's make sure we don't have to go with mud cookies. No mud
and
cookies.
All organic is organic garlic. I need cayenne pepper and Himalayan salt to do my grits and eggs. You can substitute over easy eggs.
Okay. Well, I'm sure that in the FEMA camp that you and I will be bunking together in, they'll have a Himalayan pink salt. No problem with that.
Okay. Yeah. Fred Meyer has eggs for $14.50 a dozen.
$14.50? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, those must be the ones that are like not just free ranging, but out in the field, and they're lovingly diapered by a kind liberal person. They're diapering each leg individually. One of those kind of things.
I was tempted, but I was able to bear up under the temptation. But thanks, Bill.
All right. Have a great day. Future FEMA concentration camp bunkmate Dawn from Gold Hill. It's 6:53. Let me. I don't know. I love Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Really, I do. Good morning. Hi, who's this? Welcome.
Hi, this is Lynn in Phoenix.
Hello, Lynn. How are you?
Good. I just tuned in and caught a little bit about what Dawn said. I'll be joining you in the FEMA camp. So,
oh, really? Okay. Oh, great. Well, it'll be a big talk radio happy family as we have our $14 eggs. And don't forget the Himalayan pink salt that will make it all better.
Now, them's fighting words on the eggs. You know, farmers don't make any money at all. They really struggle. And the free-range chickens, the eggs are nutritionally far superior. That's not why I called.
But oh, okay. Well, no, I will agree with you. I'm not making fun of that. But, you know, if you have $14 a dozen eggs, those are pretty pricey eggs still, even in the organic free-ranging deal, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Thanks, Joe Biden.
Okay.
Yeah. But I just tuned in because I've been wanting to mention this. So, you know, it's open enrollment for Medicare Advantage. And when you do an application now, they ask what your how you identify. Do you identify as a man or a woman or something else or non-binary? And then you also have to say your sexual orientation, you know, gay, straight. I don't know. There's like six of them.
So at what point, Lynn, was it the federal government's business what my sexual orientation is?
Politics now into the Medicare Advantage plans. It's so absurd. I just have to laugh, but I just wanted to pass that on.
So be prepared. Now, do you have to answer?
No.
You
can
don't.
Say choose not to answer.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So, and they've always asked about your race. And choose not to answer is also an option. I always wish they'd put human as one of the choices because that's what I would check.
I like that too.
Anyway.
Now, I wanted to just add something, though, that there I can see a medical reason for wanting to know someone's race. I really can because I was even reading an article in Epic Times this morning that was talking about the differences in efficacy for certain drugs and treatment depending on melanin. The melanin in your skin, because sometimes some drugs bind to the melanin that give skin color, and that would tend to reduce the amount of drug available to treat someone. So they would have to give more of the drug. So I can see medical reasons for something like that, couldn't you?
Yeah, of course. And that's why blacks' immune systems are stronger than whites in general, and that's why little black boys have triple the rate of autism if they get the MMR before the age of three, because their immune systems are more likely to react against it. But that's not why Medicare is collecting all that stuff.
Yeah, they're collecting it for political purposes.
Political purposes.
Yeah, and by the way, speaking of the differences in immune, because, you know, we are all, you know, we're one human family, so to speak, but we do have different biological responses in some cases. You were talking about black immune systems, and a very, very active immune system has a positive side and a downside. The downside is that you can have more autoimmune diseases, such as arthritis, things like that. So,
and if you're artificially manipulating the immune system, you're at a higher risk of something going wrong.
Yeah. See, here we are. Here we are just, amateur medical diagnosers or diagnosticians or whatever they call them. I don't know.
I spread missing information. That's what I do.
I like that. It's not misinformation. It's missing information. I love that.
That's right.
Thank you for the call. Let me grab line one here, too. Hi. Good morning, KMED, KBXG. This is Bill. Who's this?
This is Minor Dave.
Hello, Dave. How are you?
I'm good. I channeled my dad last night, and he gave me a dad's joke. And it's three words to describe Kamala Harris, Vice President Kamala Harris.
Uh-huh. Okay.
San Francisco crank, as in cranky, and it rhymes with skank.
I think you just said it, not rhyming. I think you wanted to say rhyming with crank if you're going to tell the joke, right?
Right.
Okay, right. Gotcha. So you were channeling your dad, huh?
Yeah, well, he passed away in 2019, so he came to me in a dream and gave me a dad's joke.
Now, you know, you can make money doing that these days. You know what I'm getting at?
I don't know if it, I don't know.
Oh, no, have you ever... Okay, now, I'm just going to have a little fun with you, Minor Dave. Play along with me, okay?
Yeah.
I remember living up in the Olympia, Washington, when I was a young DJ program director in Shelton. And in Yelm, they had like the Ramtha cult type things in which people would go out there and they would pay someone big money to spout gibberish with channeling of these ancient spirits that are happy to talk with you, you know, for $50 an hour or more, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, yeah, that probably get me in trouble.
No, there's money to be made there. There's money to be made there. They'd be fine with you. Just say, you know, channel your father for fun and profit. How about that?
Yeah, that might be a winner.
Okay, all right. Look into that. Now, you know, you're always see this way. You won't have to worry about being able to afford to fix the truck, right? You'll be able to have money, plenty of money, $50-$60 an hour. It's probably $100 an hour for now, for all we know. Just go ahead and. But remember, when you channel your father, you then have to use a deep guttural voice. Dave's father says this. You know, that kind of thing. You have to put on the act. All right. All right.
Well, you know that my dad's voice and mine were the same.
Okay, it's close enough. All right, so just use your own voice. Thanks for the call. Shade before 7.
Ready to sip your way into fall bliss? Come indulge at Artisan Bakery.
You're hearing the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
What kind of craziness is going on in the world? We'll catch up with Town Hall here in just a moment. Hannity update for that matter. And then we're going to have Judge Matthew Rowan on from Position 11 in the Circuit Court. Ended up getting in there since August, so he's a two-month incumbent. It's kind of what happens when the way the governor works things around here. But we'll have a conversation about the situation because he has a challenger, and we're going to talk with the challenger at 8:10 this morning, Johan Pietila. So one way or the other, we'll keep you up on that one. I think it's an interesting race. A couple minutes after 7, this is KMED, KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass.
Representative Kim Wallen.